medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Chandra Wabshaw, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Business Solutions Lead at Colas IS Support. Back with me this week, and not every week, clearly, is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Houtcooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. Hey, Paul, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. It's great to be back in this time zone.
Are you back in this time zone, though?
Whichever time zone that is, because I'm not sure I know yet.
Are you waking up at odd times, falling asleep at odd times?
A little bit, yeah. You get these waves, you know, like during the day, you think you're doing okay, and all of a sudden you hit a wall. You just, you know, and you kind of look around like, what the hell just happened? And then you think about it and you do math and you go, oh, I'm sorry, it's 2 o'clock in the morning where I was just at. And vice versa, you know, in the middle of the night, you're sawing logs, you're doing fine. And all of a sudden you wake up and it's like, what's going on? And it's like, well, it's 5:30 in the morning where you were. Oh, okay. Well, it's not anymore. So we're going back to bed. But that's only since I've been back. But before we get into it today, I do want to say thank you. Huge thank you and shout out to Clayton for stepping in while I was out and putting a solid episode together on practical usage and whatnot around logs. So taking our log discussion to another level. So that was very nice of him to do so. I'm glad.
I was very appreciative.
Yes, me too. And I'm glad I haven't completely lost my podcast slot.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. Depends on how many more trips you're taking.
Yeah, no kidding. We should probably describe what that trip.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe we should fill our listeners in on exactly where you were and what you were doing and why you were gone and what time zone were you really in.
Yeah, and why it was so difficult, for sure. So I had the opportunity, thank you, Steltix and Oracle, to go down under for the first time. So we did an ANZ roadshow, so Australia-New Zealand roadshow last week, which required me flying down to Melbourne first, landed in Melbourne, started there and presented there Monday, and then flying to Auckland on Tuesday. So now you're up to New Zealand to present on Wednesday, and then flying to Sydney, Australia on Thursdays to present on Friday. So I guess I can say now, having not been to either one of those countries, I've now been to Australia twice, technically in a week. Yeah.
Yeah. But, that is a good point. You've been there twice. That's amazing. In such a short time.
Yeah. The beginning of the week, people are like, you've never been here? No, I've never been here. By the end of the week, is this your first time? No, actually, it's my second. I was here Monday. But I left, right? And I came back. So, anyway, you know, we put together this roadshow to give everybody down there an update on JD Edwards and talk about modernization. We partnered with the Oracle SaaS sales team to come in and give an update on Oracle SaaS and the benefits that JD Edwards customers could get from adopting some form of SaaS product. And then we had at each site, we had customers present some of their modernization journeys, which was really cool to see. So you got that kind of customer validation. You know, I come up there with all this product updates and sales comes in with their SaaS pitch. And then you actually get customers talking about what they've actually done to modernize. You know, Bavik from Fulton Hogan actually traveled to all three destinations and kind of told the whole Fulton Hogan story of their decision to re-implement JD Edwards a few years ago. And they're still on that journey. It's an ongoing journey, but they've made great progress and they've had, I'll just say, massive success with it.
Absolutely.
Right. So he was able to share some of their strategy, some of their methodology, what their approach has been, what some of their successes have been, what some of their challenges have been. And he talked a lot about, their utilization of things like Oracle Guided Learning and how that's really helped them with onboarding. So you can imagine when you come in and you decide that you're going to re-implement JD Edwards and you're going to go back to standard JD Edwards process and kick out some of the third parties that you've been using in all these different divisions, and every division's had a little bit of freedom. It's been a little bit decentralized and they've all decided they're going to use their own thing. And now it's like, no, we're going to come to standard, one standard. Yeah, but then you've got to retrain everybody, right? You've got to onboard all these people. You've got to retrain them. And then, of course, you want to make sure whatever training you have is there for the long run, right? So you've got to be able to do it at scale. And you also have to be able to protect against the future. And so he talked a lot about that. And that really resonated with a lot of customers. So that was fun. And then, of course, Jan Jaap, CEO of Steltix, talked about some of their AI strategy and what they're doing around AI to help customers and what they're observing. So, I mean, it was a really well-rounded event each day. I mean, the content was pretty solid and customers were really, really happy with the balance that they got and the messages that they heard. So, and then after that, of course, I have one-on-ones and stuff like that with whichever customer wants to talk to me. So that just means, do you want to yell at Paul? Okay, go ahead, come in.
So you but must no. have been really busy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No. No, to be honest, I mean, everybody was great. Some of these, you get engaged, it never fails that SRs come up. And
of course.
You know, there is a bit of a complaint session, which is fine. I mean, we get to air our grievances and, I'm fine with that. I want the feedback. I want to understand it. And if there's opportunities for me and the team to obviously not only improve, but maybe correct whatever that is, then we get that chance. And I do appreciate that. Otherwise, we talk strategy and stuff. So, I mean, that was that.
What are some of the observations that you had surrounding your customers and how those interactions were either similar or different than, say, what you had at Blueprint? Or in your conversations, did people bring up different things that they were doing that you were like, oh, that's a different approach?
Well, I want to say it's somewhat consistent. I mean, yeah. If anything, guess what? JD Edwards customers worldwide are dealing with some of the same challenges. There's a lot of folks that, again, there was benefit back in the day to a decentralized strategy where yes. you defer to other lines of business or other geos or whatever to be able to decide for themselves, you know, how to solve their problems, right? And so you get multiple instances and variations of JD Edwards in how it's configured and used. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, all the third parties that you bolt around it.
Yep.
And then they're faced today with AI and wanting to roll out AI strategies uniformly across these groups. And they find themselves going, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I've got 13 different variations. And, you know, I'm not going to be of how somebody does this one particular process.
Yep.
Right. First thing they have to do is say, okay, no. We need to commonize, right? Or yep. standardize or whatever you want to say. So they're re-centralizing some of this stuff and saying, look, we've got to do it just one way. That'll make the rollout of some of these other things make a lot of sense. There are a lot of people in that sense that also speaks to like consolidating instances. There are a lot of customers out there that just have multiple instances. So they may have a 9.2 instance, but they got a 9.0 and a 9.1 instance as well. And so there's questions out there about, well, if we do consolidate, do you consolidate first or do you upgrade first? Do you upgrade your 9.2 instance and then consolidate the other two, vice versa? Mm. That might be a good podcast for us to have.
Yeah, that'd be a great discussion to have.
We've been on this modernization theme. Is one of the things I stress is the need for a continuous adoption discipline or a continuous adoption initiative, something separate from the update cycle, the regular maintenance cycle that customers are following.
Yes.
Because it really does need to be a constant investment, not
an afterthought.
Yeah, and it can't be lumpy, right?
No.
So it should be a constant investment, something that you're constantly, I keep on saying that word, but always working towards. And you don't want to introduce risk in the maintenance cycle by introducing adoption. That said, the reality for a lot of customers, our listeners are going to be like, well, duh, but maybe this means you're not alone. I mean, whatever, I don't know. But I think the reality for many is that you go through these maintenance cycles. You may not even be going through annual maintenance cycles. Instead, you're doing this upgrade cycle every 3 to 5 years, right?
Typically, yeah. Yeah.
And because you're in that 3 to 5 year zone, the delta is fairly significant, which means the amount of effort to do this upgrade is going to be fairly significant. And that means you got to get a budget and you got to get board level approval to actually make this move, to agree to make the investment. Yeah. And so many of these boards are basically saying, well, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? Why do I want to spend whatever, $1 million+ on an upgrade project for JD Edwards? What's in it for me? It's stable. It works. Why do I need to do that? And so suddenly you're looking at, well, I've got to show an ROI. I've got to be able to illustrate what getting to that next version does for me. And so now I have no choice but to work in adoption into this upgrade. Well, by getting to this level, we'll be able to take advantage of X, Y, Z. We'll be able to de-risk because, hey, guess what? Look at all the security patches that have been released in the last 3 years that we presumably have vulnerabilities in our system related to, right? You know, those sorts of things. But you end up looking at it and you end up having to incorporate that adoption, which then increases the scope, increases the risks, increases the cost. It means you're likely not just pulling people out of the business to go validate that nothing got broke, but now you're pulling people out of the business to help you with whatever things you were talking about as far as adoption is concerned. But you're treating it still as this one-off occurrence, which means it's not constant. It's one time we're going to go do this. We're going to make this investment. Okay, well, if you do that, then what happens? Well, I don't want to spend that money again for another 3 to 5 years because I want to recoup that. I want to actually get a return on that investment before I go try this again, which locks you in to this cycle. And it is a terrible cycle. It really is. And the other thing is, because that was the experience, that becomes the bar that you're getting measured against. So the thought is there is no other experience. There cannot be another experience. It means every time you want to upgrade your JD Edwards, it is a X month long project with X number of people and resources and all of this other stuff. So they will not agree to another upgrade a year from now because one, I haven't recouped my investment, right? I don't have a return on an investment. And I sure as heck ain't doubling down on that level of investment a year later. So how do you overcome that? How are you going to get past that and at least get into a regular maintenance cycle where you're applying patches on an annual basis and can be consistent and quick? And then you got to separate that adoption and keep it constant all along. You've got to get to that model somehow from this lumpy 3 to 5 year upgrade, need budget, need everything versus it being an organic part of what you do on a daily basis.
Yep, just a standard part of your normal operating processes in a way, right?
Yes.
It's part of your SOP almost.
Right.
My IT SOP includes.
Right. And how do you evolve yourself into that? And how do you get yourself from this almost traditional model to a more iterative and agile model where it's really two different trains? You know, yes, annual upgrades, but that adoption and constant improvement, it's in the name, continuous adoption, constant improvement, constant evolution, whatever, that reflects the commitment. So I don't know, interesting challenge, right? And that's what
100%.
We face.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Most places I have worked have struggled with that. It is a 3 to 5 year project. It's got to get board approval. What's in it? What's the return? You don't get the time to adopt, or if you do, you're adopting very little. It takes a very concerted effort to be able to flip that mindset from, okay, we are going to get ourselves ready so that maybe it's a lot of decustomization, you know, getting rid of your technical debt, where then your upgrade cycles become shorter, easier, right? Mm-hmm. You can use the orchestrator to help you with test scripts, right? So maybe you're automating some things. It becomes easier. You don't need as much from even the business, maybe. You can help automate their testing. It takes a lot to get to that point. And you have to have that leadership buy-in that this is the right thing to do. And that is a struggle. And yeah. I'm sure we could talk about ways and strategies to get there, right? We may have to do that in some future episodes, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think making that transition and how do you make that mindset shift? But it's one to make the mindset shift, but it's a mindset shift for the business. Like, this is right. how we're going to run, and getting that leadership, to your point, that leadership buy-in, that we've got to break the cycle and we simply have to commit to this other methodology, so to speak, because it's a different way of doing things. Effectively, I mean, maybe it's analogous to, I'm going from waterfall development, which is really, really lumpy. I'm doing 3 to 5 year projects and releasing product every 3 to 5 years. And I've got these long, long development cycles, to an agile scrum iterative development methodology where I'm churning and burning on a more regular basis. And it's analogous to that shift. How do you do that with the maintenance of your system? Right. Anyway, I mean, that obviously wasn't everything that I ran into, but that was a major takeaway for me in the conversations that I was having, because yeah, it's easy for me to get up there and talk about that iterative agile methodology. But when you sit down, the reality is majority of our customers are stuck in that almost legacy way of maintaining their systems. So in other words, their way of maintaining the system is more aligned with how we delivered software 10 years ago than how we deliver software. Now I'm delivering software. You're getting ESUs every other week. You're getting tools drops every quarter. You're getting an update every year versus a major release coming every 3 to 5 years. And yet all you're doing is an upgrade every 3 to 5 years. So right. again, we just haven't made that shift.
If you're running JD Edwards, InFocus 2026 needs to be on your calendar. Join the JDE community September 21st through the 23rd in Denver, Colorado, for 3 days of education, networking, and insights into what's next for JD Edwards. Get an early look at Release 27. Learn how Oracle is enhancing JD Edwards with Redwood. Explore AI enablement opportunities and understand upcoming platform support changes that could impact your roadmap. We'll also be covering topics like orchestrations, automation, OCI, security, and modernization strategies from customers and Oracle experts. Early bird registration ends August 14th, so register now before rates increase. Visit questoraclecommunity.org/infocus and join us in Denver.
But I thought you were going to ask me about like the jet lag and...
Well, you know, I get and, there. I oh, was gonna, okay. Actually, what I was going to say is, okay, first of all, you flew here, you flew there, you flew back here. Did you ever sleep? Because I don't know. I mean, Australia and New Zealand, they're not like right next to each other. It's not like going to Minnesota to Wisconsin, right?
No.
That's a trek. Like, okay, yes. First of all, how was the jet lag? Second of all, did you ever sleep? And right. did you get the opportunity to do something for yourself while you were there? You work hard having to travel that way. I hope you took an opportunity to see some things. You know, I'm sure you probably saw some things as well as maybe with some of your meetings. But like, did you do something fun?
No, it was all work. No play.
No play.
I'm just kidding. And I never slept. So that's why I'm still wired. No, I mean, I've learned over the years, having done a dozen or more trips to at least India, some tricks to acclimating when you make these major time zone shifts. Now, this is a 16-hour shift, so I've never made a shift that long, nor traveled that far. So arguably, it helps to be in business class where you can lay down. I'm just going to admit, I don't sleep great on planes, but I sleep enough. So that helps. But what I've learned in all those years of traveling to India is, in order to acclimate, you hit the ground running, literally.
Well, you land in the day, right? Typically down there?
Well, this time around, I landed at 8:10. I mean, when I've gone to India, I'm landing at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't matter.
Oh.
Okay. So I hit the ground and I immediately exercise, right? I hit the gym, or in this case, with the marathon coming up, I have a training plan that I got to stick to. Now, of course, that training plan said I was supposed to run 20 miles. I'm sorry. I'm not good enough, strong enough, whatever. Perhaps it's my age. Who knows? But to travel more than 20 hours on a plane, land and go run 20 miles. I did run 6. you know, so I was able to get off the plane. I got to my hotel and a friend of mine picked me up and we went down to the water, the shoreline, and we ran along the shoreline for 6 miles. And that basically got me almost immediately wired and acclimated. And that was hugely beneficial because I still had that 20 miler on the docket, right? So I just swapped Sunday for Saturday. Yep. So I do a 6 mile acclimation run, so to speak, on Saturday, got to bed at a decent time Saturday night, but that's the next trick. Okay. So you hit the ground running, you get outside as soon as you can, you get sunshine and you exercise, get the oxygen, get the blood flowing, get the oxygen going, right? Then you stay up as long as you possibly can. Right. You just keep going because you're going to hit a wall it sucks. I mean, it could be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the evening, whatever, but you have to try to power through and you go as long as you can. And when you're no longer able to form sentences or you're drooling on yourself, then you can accept bedtime. Right. So
which one of those things happened?
Well, when somebody starts talking and you no longer hear them and you're like, are you what me? Huh? Then it's like, okay, let things fade to black and go to bed. All right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's what I did. And then I got up at, 4 o'clock, I think, the next morning. I slept pretty good. You know, not the best sleep that I've had, but I got a decent amount of sleep that night, woke up at 4, and then I did my 20 mile run. And, you know, you would think, hey, guess what? You're in Melbourne, you know, whatever. Maybe it's flatter compared to Denver. No. Sorry. I went down to the Mount Yarra Trail and this river that runs through Melbourne. And, you know, I went for 10 miles down, 10 miles back. I think there was like 900 feet or something like that of ascent in that trek. So that was decent. That was decent.
I gave good solid star on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But hey, guess what? If I can travel all that way and within 24 hours of hitting the ground, I can finish 26 miles, right? I'd probably pretty good for a marathon at sea level where it's flat in a couple weeks. At least I hope. I mean, knock on wood, then you hit taper. But yeah, so that was really good. And as usual, as you've taught me, running exposes you to just a different view of the places that you travel, right? You just get to see a different side of things. And so running along the water was beautiful. Running, whether it was along the shoreline or along the river, I mean, it was just awesome to just see different parts of the city. I made a point of running along the pier in Auckland. You know, I got 6 miles or so in there as well. And that was absolutely gorgeous. I got that at sunrise. And
beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. So incredibly rewarding. I mean, at the end of the day, you feel so grateful because this is intense doing these roadshows and delivering these presentations and having these one-on-ones. It is intense and you need that downtime. You still need to take that time for yourself to recharge. I don't know. It helps keep me, I would say, balanced, if you will. But it also just helps me appreciate how fortunate I am as I run along the water and I see the sun come up or I see wildlife or I meet these people. I mean, I can tell you the most beautiful thing about the trip was the people because you see the J.D. Edwards culture everywhere you go. I felt at home wherever I was. You know, I've traveled all this way. I've never been here before. And yet, as soon as you get in that room and you're surrounded by 40 or 50 of your closest friends, so to speak, of your closest JDE friends, you know, right. And everybody is excited to see you. It had been 7 or so years since somebody in my position had been down there. So they were grateful for us making the trip and making it happen. I mean, Steltics could have done this thing without me and without anybody. They could have just put on an event just to give the customers an excuse to come together because they did more. I mean, it was every break we took, we lost time because we couldn't get them to like refocus and get back in the room. Right. I mean, it was just awesome. And because they haven't talked to one another either and collaborated at, you know, on this level for a while. So that was so cool to see. The last question that you asked was, of course, did I take some time for myself? Yes. When we were done on Friday, did a nice dinner at the Opera House in Sydney. There's a actual restaurant at the Opera House. Very, very nice. I highly recommend for anybody if you get that opportunity to do it. Next day, I ran around the pier, you know, ran around the dock area and everything else. And there's a beautiful botanical gardens and everything that you can run through. Absolutely gorgeous. I went on a whale watching tour and actually got to see some humpback whales breaching and all of that. So that was
how cool. You know,
yeah. I mean, and again, I mean, as you're going through this, you can't help but think, geez, I am like the luckiest guy in the world. And then I went to Coogee. It's a little beach town on the coast. And I got an Airbnb there that overlooked the water. I mean, it was basically right on the beach, as close to the beach as you could get. Beautiful sunrises. And I did a back to the whole running thing. I did a 10-mile run on the Coogee to Bondi Trail, which is literally 5 miles. It's perfect distance. It's 5 miles up and 5 miles back, right? But they don't tell you that, well, there's a lot of stairs. So for those that have done Challenge Hill and Castle Rock, multiply that by five. It's not quite the incline, but yeah, I finished 10. It was actually harder than the 20 miler the week before. I think there was 1,150 feet of elevation change in just 10 miles. So the 1,000 feet of elevation change the week before was spread out over 20. This one condensed into 10 and it was more. But the views all along that coast, I mean, that run could have taken 6 hours if I would have stopped. Taking pictures, because I mean, there's just photo opportunities.
Totally.
Oh yeah, all along the way. So yes, I did get some time with myself, and then I caught up with another friend who actually lives in Coogee. He came down, and we of course had a couple beers, and I had dinner with him and his daughters, and it was great to catch up. It had been a few years. So again, I mean, so fortunate to be able to not only go down there and have the opportunity, but to be surrounded by customers and that culture, and then in each destination, I connected with friends out of each one of those cities. I just didn't realize, I guess, how far my friend network reached. And it was so cool to be able to just take advantage of that opportunity and connect with those folks. So yeah, I'm sorry. You can hear it in my voice. I'm still excited. It was a great time. It was great from a business standpoint. It was great from a personal standpoint. Yeah, so many great memories. So thanks for giving me the opportunity to share. I mean,
yeah, of course. I was very excited to hear about it. And I'm guessing our listeners are as well. You know, hey, what were you doing down there? Are you seeing similar challenges or hearing similar challenges? What's it like? Are they as crazy as we are?
Right.
So sounds absolutely. Like it. Yeah. So you get us all in a room and you can get us focused again because we're all having great conversations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a good thing. Did you hear any Midwestern, like, words? Just out of curiosity, I mean, did anybody drop any to know if they're actually listening to that section of our podcast?
I thought there was one comment during the week, and now I can't remember it. Shoot. There was a comment that somebody made, and I was like, that's a Midwesternism. I'll have to rack my brain. I'm sorry. I'm still a little foggy. But
nope, that's all good. Yeah, it's all good.
But they are listening down there. There was a few comments here and there. So hello to all of our friends, you know.
Yes. Love it. We can't close without a Midwesternism. So the Midwestern word that I'm going to use is cripes.
The Midwestern swear word. This is
exactly.
This is the Midwestern nice way of saying bleep.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what it is. We are not going to swear because that's not okay.
Mm-mm, that's not okay.
But we will use the word cripes to express surprise, dismay, frustration. It's one of those. I think it actually originates instead of saying Christ, you say cripes.
It's like for the love of Pete.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you don't say for the love of God. You know, we don't like to say that because, you know, so, you know, this is a nice way of, you know, I would have said, well, I can't say it, but bleep is cripes, but yes, or Christ. I got you. Right. These are things.
Right.
You know, it's just a polite way of, I don't know, cursing. Let's just say that. Now, we have a lot of those. So, you know, maybe we have to do just a series of all the different, you know,
the Midwestern ways of politely swearing.
Yes.
Series. I love it. That's awesome. That's phenomenal.
Very cool. Send us your favorite Midwestern swear word.
Exactly, right? Exactly. I love it. All right. For questions, feedback, or ideas for future episodes, contact us at the JDE Connection at questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya! Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.